Lord, help us to hear your word. Touch our heart with your word. Touch our minds with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I failed to introduce myself. I did say Monica's not here. My name's Shirley Daddario. I'm the associate pastor here. This was not in the job description. So the words are from Pastor Monica. Good stories are those kind that when they are done, we all find ourselves saying or thinking, tell it again. I want to hear that story again. This is why we have all read to our children, Cat in the Hat, Good Night Moon, Where the Wild Things Are, and other favorite stories again and again and again. And I think many of us have had that experience of the same story being requested over and over. This is why there's no question of what story we tell on Easter. We tell the story that is the cornerstone of our faith. We've spent all week telling the rough part of this story. We have walked with Jesus as he had predicted his own death, prophesied his resurrection, ate his last meal, was betrayed and denied. He was put on trial. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was executed over the political and religious tensions of his message. He felt abandoned and deserted by those closest to him, including his father, God. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gave up his spirit. Jesus was placed in a garden tomb, closed with a rock, guarded by soldiers. But this is not a story about death. It is a story about life and life eternal. Easter's always the answer to our cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is alive. He was dead and he's alive forevermore. We tell the story that resurrection comes after death and resurrection comes after the silence of Holy Week. And it's with the longest and loneliest 24 hours that seem like nothing is ever going to change. We cannot jump from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter. We must walk through the week in between, in the life of Jesus and in our own lives. There's an old play called The Trial of Jesus by John Mansfield. And in the play, the centurion who oversaw Jesus' crucifixion, he reports back to Pilate. And Pilate's wife asks the centurion to tell her about Jesus' death. After hearing his description, she leans in and she says, "Do you think he's dead?" "No, my lady," he replies. "He's been let loose in the world where neither Roman nor Jew can stop his truth." The story that claims us today tells us that risen Christ is out ahead of us, let loose in the world, leaning us into a future that is beyond prejudice. It's beyond poverty, beyond prison, beyond politics. Jesus goes ahead of us into a future that cannot be defined by death or grief or loss. Jesus goes before us into a future of peace and love, justice and truth and restoration. We tell the story that Jesus' resurrection about how Jesus is raised. We know God can give us our lives as well. God raises our focus on death and destruction to life, to hope. God can resurrect and heal our broken relationships. He can and he will move through even us to bring health and wholeness, hope, and a future. Easter is not for lingering at the tomb and wondering, but it's going out in the resurrection power to bring God's way on earth. Resurrection is God saying no to all the powers that try to stop Jesus, to all the officials and all the authorities who thought they knew best. Resurrection is God saying yes. He's saying yes to Jesus, risen from the dead. Jesus is now leading into the future that God can only know these dreams are possible. Jesus is Lord, not the Roman officials, as he was called at that time. Jesus is Lord, not any religious authorities or political operatives. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who rules our lives. As Lord, he is our Lord. And Jesus is waiting for us, having already answered our prayers with the ultimate yes. Yes is always that message at Easter. Yes, it's the call to live in a broken world and not be held back in fear and anxiety by signs of death and destruction that's all around. Instead, we are called to center our lives on the hope and promise of resurrection. On this day, we proclaim God's yes in a world that knows terrorism, in a world that knows sadness, in a world that knows hurt, fear, pain. We proclaim yes. We don't stick our head in the sand like an ostrich. But our eyes are wide open. They're wide open knowing the God's promise to redeem the world. We know the action has become with resurrection and continues day after day. Our lives are forever changed. We join in the yes of Easter. We join in the yes of our prayers. As people of the resurrection, our lives are no longer reflect death or destruction, hatred, and evil. We turn our faces to God's way where Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over everything. We insist that love will ultimately be powerful over hatred. We live in that life-giving and hope-filling mindset. This countercultural way of living, it demonstrates mercy, it exemplifies Christ. Easter's not a single morning where we rise early to hunt for our baskets and give a nod to Jesus. Easter's a way of living that changes forever when we truly experience the power of resurrection in our lives and know that God can raise us well in this life and in the next. When we live resurrection here, when we live it now, we've become convinced that our actions do matter. The way we treat one another matters. Our one-on-one matters, but so do the ways that we talk about whole groups of people. Our individual actions matter, but so do the ways that our groups and organizations and governments. If Jesus is truly risen from the dead, all things are possible, and that includes us as well as them. If Jesus is alive, the world Is not acting Christian is not enough of excuse for us anymore. We must put our resurrection lives and live as those who believe and know that Jesus is the answer to all our prayers. Jesus has triumphed over sin. He has triumphed over death. Jesus was resurrected and is loose in the world, bringing on his kingdom. This is not just good news. This is life-changing, life-saving news. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.